Welcome to the Ride for Real with Steve Lamet podcast, where Steve shares his philosophies on horse training and coaching riders in ranch versatility, performance, and cow horse events. This podcast is brought to you by Equinity All Natural Horse Supplements. For any horse at any stage of life, it's streamlined, cost-effective, and easy.
Hi, I'm Steve Lamet, and welcome to the podcast. We're joined with Chuck Potter from Hoof Cinch. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Very good. This episode of the podcast, we sort of entitled Hoof Care 101 for the Horse Owner. So Chuck is a farrier, and he's the inventor of the Hoof Cinch and the lift. So we're gonna rely on Chuck as our equine hoof expert. What can horse owners do to maintain a healthy hoof?
Yeah, a lot of it relies on or depends on the environment that your horse lives in.
Okay.
I mean, some of the simple things are your daily picking of the dirt out of the foot.
Okay.
And, you know, that can stop a lot of abscesses, a lot of bruising to the bottom of the foot.
Okay.
You know, you get that hard dirt with some rocks packed in there, and the horse just walking in general, those rocks are pushing on the sole.
Okay.
You can end up that. And then you have the bacteria that can be stored in the dirt as well.
Okay.
And it's an anaerobic, so it goes from the dirt into the foot, and that's when you end up with abscesses.
So it's not actually the dirt going in, it's the bacteria in the dirt that finds it.
Right. And a funny thing about that whole abscessing is it's called graveling.
Okay.
And that because back in the cowboy days, before we knew about bacteria, They believed a rock would enter the white line and travel up and pop out at the coronary band. That's why it's called graveling still to this day. And it still causes a lot of confusion because I still have a lot of old timers that I trim and shoe for that used to trim and shoe themselves.
Right.
And they swear to God that a rock popped out of that coronary band. You know, because it's graveling, but
don't tell them otherwise, Joe.
We're gonna let that go. No, you don't tell them otherwise.
But so we've got that. Besides that, we've got nutrition and we take care of them that way. Mm-hmm. But let's talk again about just routine maintenance. So, I've heard this. Oh, I've got a couple of horses. They're so good. I only have to have them trimmed twice a year. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is a good schedule for a horse owner to be on to maintain proper hoof angles, hoof care, hoof health? What should they be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, your farrier has to really look at the horse's feet, and he'll get to know them. So maybe he might put you out on an 8-week cycle to start. And that's a pretty normal trim cycle for a lot of horses. Now, there are horses.
For your trail horses, for the people that have... Right. Literally, when we're using the word pleasure, it's for their own enjoyment.
Exactly.
They pet them. They love them. They ride them.
They might take them out once, you know, a month for a trail ride.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there we're on an 8-week cycle. You get in the more performance horses. You can be anywhere 4 to 6 week cycle.
Right.
And that's more important because we're maintaining angles and joint alignments and all of those things.
Okay.
And protecting the hoof at the same time because – when you have shoes on, you have that chance of that dirt getting under with the bacteria. And once again, you pull those shoes off, and you'll see a lot of times when you pull the shoes, there's black in the white line. There's bacteria.
Okay.
And so that's why we pull those shoes off, and we don't leave them on for 4 or 5 months at a time, is because of that bacteria, and you'll end up with white line disease. But for the horse owner, the big thing, if they have their horse shod, pick those feet out and make sure you get as close as you can to getting under the shoe to get the dirt out of there and stuff too.
So I'm going to touch on a topic that when Kristen, you came here and Jen and I were visiting, we're hanging out and talking, we're having dinner, and let's touch on, and we're going to try to do this quickly without making this all of a sudden going from a 20-minute segment to 2 hours, standardization in the industry. So what, as Chuck giggles, so what is a farrier? Who sort of determines that? And then, because here's the thing. I don't care what walk of life you are. You can be a 10-time, 15-time world champion. You could be someone who literally is a new-time horse owner. We all end up going to our local feed store or you know, TSC, you know, or Farm and Fleet, whatever it is in your area, to buy fly spray, to buy a bag of shavings because it's 7:30 at night, we need a bag of shavings, to buy chicken feet, whatever it is. But we run in there, and every farm store, and I don't care what initials you use or what farm or fleet you're from, there's a bulletin board. And on that bulletin board, there's always a section that says farrier, okay? And every Tom, Dick, and Harry and his aunt has a business card up there. They are all masters, journeymen, you know, fifth, third generation, you know, the cousin of royalty that knows how to trim a hoof. Talk about finding a, qualified individual to do this.
Yeah, this is where it gets really tricky because there, like you said, there are no standards in our industry. Anybody can pick up the tools and declare themselves anything they want to be in the horse industry, in all walks of it. So especially the farrier. So, and we have all these different types of hoof care people.
Right.
Okay. So we have the farrier. And what I'm calling a farrier, somebody who went to a certified farrier school.
That is who actually should be called a farrier.
Exactly. Okay. These are the ones they learned to make the horseshoes. They learned to trim the feet. They learned all the structures and their functions. So we knew all 45 pieces of the hoof and what each piece does and how it's connected. And that's what an actual farrier should know. And they need to know our job. A lot of farriers don't even actually, well, the hoof care people
right.
don't actually know what their job is other than trying to make the foot look pretty. Okay. So there's more to it than cosmetic.
Okay. So there's people out there that, and so as I'm talking about this, I'm not trying to knock anybody. I think there's qualified people in all different genres of doing this, but there's some people that specialize that they're just, trimologist or whatever they call themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's all they do.
When we look at all the different parts of hoof care.
Okay.
It's how the people view life in general. You usually see how people go. That's when you get the people that go more off into the natural side of things. And they live that way, and they also want the horse to live that way.
Yes.
And so they go off into this trimming.
They're buying natural the CBD products over at the gas station because they have a headache.
Exactly. So, I mean, and that's what you normally see is the people, it's based on their own life and how they believe things. And because there's no standards in our industry, this is allowed to happen.
Right, because it's perfectly natural that a 210-pound man with a 50-pound saddle and another 15 pounds of chaps, boots, hats, belt, hop on the back of an 11-pound animal.
I always say there's not monkeys riding them in the wild.
There's monkeys. Okay, so, but that's it. So everybody, and again, I'm not knocking it, but you know, it's funny because when you talk to that side, mm-hmm. okay, I don't want to say the argument, but that's that group, okay, they think you guys take it too far by you're just mean, you're nailing a piece mm-hmm. of steel onto the horse's hoof, and you don't really understand. If you knew how to trim, you wouldn't need to do that.
Sure. I can understand their way of thinking. But there's times when your trimming is just not enough. You can't.
Absolutely.
You have certain performance horses that are performing beyond their hoof's capability.
Absolutely.
And there's also medical conditions that you can't take care of just by trimming. You can't get the angle that you need. You can't get the tilt. There's a lot of different things that you can't do just with trimming.
Some of the angle you can, but it's going to wear down and
well, that depends. Like a lot of you get into the trimming, they want to come every 2, 3, 4 weeks
yes.
and there's no foot there.
There's
so if
nothing.
Something happens, there's no way you can fix anything besides applying a mechanical device. And mechanical devices aren't evil in that they're just there to help your animal get through.
Right.
And that to relieve pain or to keep them from being in pain.
Right.
And it's each side has their own way of looking at it, but you have to be able to apply the mechanical devices.
They sort of view and I won't say the farriers, but sometimes the phrase mechanical device, they even view that in the hoof cinch as well. Mm-hmm. That this is, well, we've done it this way. Why are we doing it now that way?
Sure.
So I think finding, for people at home, finding a, and here's the thing, finding a qualified individual is important. And depending on the needs of that the person, the horse owner, if they're going trail riding or camping twice a year, maybe a trim is all you need.
Sure.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
Okay, as long as the horse is maintained healthy, okay? Mm-hmm. But finding that qualified individual, because, I mean, I've had the luxury of having the same farrier since I started when I was 18. But there was we had a I won't say a breakup, but when I moved back to Chicago for a little bit in the Chicagoland area, when I first started dating Jen and things, I got off his list. And when we came back and Jen and I built and moved back here, you know, it's hard to, he's not going to keep that spot open just in case Steve moves back in the area.
Sure.
Okay. You know, as soon as he had an opening, I got back on. But in the interim, the horse is hoofed and not stopped growing.
Exactly.
So I asked around and we were told this one young fella, he's pretty good. And he showed up here with the 5-gallon pail and a couple rusty tools in there. And he picked up Jen's horse's hoof and said a few things. And let's just say he didn't get too much past the picking up of the hoof, and I sent him packing. So that finding that qualified individual and maintaining a proper schedule is very, very important.
Yeah.
After that, you know, people, you know, depending where you are geographically in the United States, we deal with changes in the environment. We deal with horses cracking. We deal, like, we're here in northwestern Indiana. You're in Minnesota. Today we were outside filming, and Krista is saying it's 88, but it felt like 99 because humidity. Of the humidity.
Yeah.
Okay. And we both know that in 4, 5, 6 months, we are going to be 2 foot deep, and we're going to be happy it's zero out because it was just negative 20 with the wind chill. Yeah. How or what can a horse owner do to help with that hoof health? You know, besides, you know, like nutrition, I'm a big fan of Total Equine. Mm-hmm. We feed them that. We've got really good luck and good condition on our hooves. But, you know, something, you know, in terms of topically that a horse owner could apply or do to help condition those hooves.
Sure. Like you said, you have to look at the time of year, the environment your horse lives in. Is it hot? Is it on a lot of sand? You end up with really dry, hard feet, and you start to see those surface cracks in the feet. Mm-hmm. Those are normally 99.9% of the time, those are no big deal. They're cosmetic. Those, you get those dry cracks running up the foot,
right,
and they are only going through that outer layer,
right,
of that. So when you trim, you can actually look at it and see that they're only like, oh, maybe a 16th of an inch into the,
it's just surface.
It's cosmetic.
It's
so
just surface.
We normally don't worry, but those are a sign that it could get worse.
Okay.
So being able to either soak your horse's feet, and I'm not talking about this old cowboy trick of overflowing the water tank, have them come step in it, and then walk back over here, because that actually causes more damage.
It's more dry.
Yeah, yeah, right. Gets them dried out faster. I'm talking about soaking them for like 30 minutes with a soaker boot.
Okay.
Pull it off, you know, towel dry it quick, and then apply an oil.
Okay.
Okay, you can use whatever your favorite brand is, if you want Cowboy Magic, or I love pine tar.
Okay. All right.
And if you look in almost all of them, pine tar's in there, but right, they add other things to it to make it more user friendly. Pine tar is very thick.
Okay.
And so a lot of people like it when you can get the brush and just dip it in there and brush it on. It makes it easier for the horse owner, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But pine tar is the cheapest and it's the best. It actually does seal, and it's an antiseptic as well.
So if there is a little infection or something, we could start hedging our bets against an abscess and things like that. All these podcasts are brought to you guys by Equinity, and, you know, feeding the horses from the inside out is important. So we're a big believer. Like we gave a shout out to Total Equine. We're doing the same thing with Equinity. Every horse here in our barn, we have them on Equinity. It's just a religious thing, and we've been doing that now since John Dowdy and I have become friends, and he's been a supporter of the show, and then said, hey. And, you know, I turned my back for 2 seconds, and him and Jen had this wild idea. We're going to start a podcast. So here we are. Thank you, John. But at the same time, love it. And we use it on the horses as well. And so a huge improvement in coat health, the horses' coats and hooves and things like that, and hair quality and just overall body condition. So we do a lot of traveling, okay? And but I'm one of those guys that are prepared. So everybody looks at my trailer, and I'm the butt of a lot of jokes because I have things in my trailer that most guys don't have. Because I am prepared for not just a breakdown. I could probably handle World War III and be self-contained. But if you are traveling and you're going out for the weekend and you're just your average horse owner, what are some of the tools that they could pick up just at their local tractor, you know, supply place or farm and fleet or something like that, that they could have that if they have a loose shoe or they've cracked their hoof or something like that, that they could go ahead, make some quick and easy adjustments or repairs to get through a week and out on trail or to get home to see their farrier?
Sure. That the big thing is have your farrier teach you how to pull a shoe.
I think that's just the best idea in the world. Thank you for saying that.
Don't try to do it if you don't know, because you can actually hurt the horse. So you're cranking left to right and all that. Everything goes from heel to toe. So you start at the back nail pop and work your way forward, and you go back and forth on the shoe. So have your farrier actually teach you. I do to all my barn managers. When I go in the barn, I make sure they all know how to pull a shoe, because if you get one turned sideways, nails are still in it, you can end up with injuries.
Absolutely.
On the horse. So we want that shoe off as quick as possible. Mm-hmm. And if they don't know how to do it, like I said, you can't injure it because you start torquing side to side. Then you're pulling on the joints.
And it's something, because people see a shoe and it's a little loose and they hear it, but they don't know how to pull it. So they're like, oh, it'll be fine. They'll just ride with it. You know, loose is better than no shoe.
Sure.
Okay. But, you know, I think I would venture to say I know every farrier that I've ever had would be happy to say, hey, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're actually making their job easier, because when they show up, it's not mangled and the hoof isn't in pieces, because then everybody's like, God, it's horrible. So I think that's important. So like for us in the trailer, we have nippers, we have pullers, we have a rasp. I have, you know, a little box of nails. I have a shoeing hammer. I have a little tiny, 2-pound sledge so I can straighten out, because every truck I have has a hitch, and that just became a makeshift anvil to get me through a pinch. Any other pointers that you could give to horse owners in terms of, you know, hoof health, you know, because finding that qualified farrier and making sure that we're doing all these things, this sort of hedges our bet against navicular syndrome and other things down the road, and, you know, side bone issues and arthritis and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big thing is, you know, check the flexibility of your horse's foot, and you should be able to ask your farrier. So when we were looking at trying to, okay, how do we determine somebody's qualified?
Okay.
And that's, you want to ask them what school they went to. How did you get your training? Okay, now there's guys that they just on the job train.
Okay.
So they may ride with another farrier, which is fine.
Right.
But you end up losing the science part of the job then. So the in-depth knowledge of the pieces of the foot. You should know all 45 pieces of that foot before you take off on your own.
Okay.
To be an apprentice, that's fine.
Right.
And then you should go to school.
Okay.
Any apprentice that rides with me, I always encourage them, you know, go to school. And anymore, I don't take them until after school.
Okay.
And then, because they need the time underneath the horse to learn. And when you get finished with school, it's still intimidating.
Right.
The whole process, because it takes a while to get the eye and everything to learn the entire job.
Absolutely.
But they know all the parts and pieces, and they know what happens when they get them off. The other thing is the conditioning of your foot. So like I said, talk to your farrier when they're trimming. Okay, does the feet seem over hard? Are they too soft? And ask your farrier what they recommend to correct that problem. Okay, does he want you to soak them and oil them? Are they too soft? He wants you to put Keratex or whatever brand of hardener your farrier likes. Because it makes their job easier in the end. When we come in and we have a foot that's like stone, it's very difficult. I mean, our knives are shin and sparks off the soles.
Right.
And we can't cut we have to use our nippers to trim the frogs. They're so hard, the knives aren't going to cut through them. That's when not only is it hard for the farrier, it's bad for the horse.
Okay.
His foot isn't functioning normal anymore. It's not flexing like it's supposed to dissipate forces as it contacts the ground. So you're sending a lot more reverberation back up the leg. And so all the joints, everything's taking a beating. So those are all things that you talk to your farrier about to ask them, okay, what would you recommend? I think the biggest, it's very rare in our region here to see the soft foot.
Absolutely.
You know, so we mostly deal with the hard foot. So the oiling, soaking, those things. And like I said, your farrier, it's best because they're the ones going to have to deal with that foot. So if they tell you something and it doesn't work, it's on them.
Absolutely. Chuck, I want to thank you for joining us. Hopefully we've shed some light on just some basic tips to maintain proper hoof health. Chuck, tell everybody your website. So if they want to check out Hoof Cinch or The Lift, where should they go?
It's www.hoofcinch.com or our Facebook is Hoof Cinch.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. We'll see you next week right here on the podcast.
Thank you for listening to Ride for Real with Steve Lanvet. Wanting more? Then watch Steve on the Cowboy Channel. Check out his website where you could find links to his video library, his Facebook fan page, and his online store. This podcast was brought to you by Equinity, all natural horse supplements. For any horse at any stage of life, it's streamlined, cost-effective, and easy.